Good morning. We welcome all of you to worship today at St. Mark's as we observe the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. We especially give a warm welcome to the guests who are with us today. We know that many of our guests are here. Your children are here as a result of your children being a part of our Vacation Bible School last week. It was our privilege to share God's word with your children in the past week, and it is our privilege to share God's word with your whole family today. The VBS children will be singing some songs at the start of today's service, as well as one song later in today's service as well. We know the importance of good medical care, good physical care. We value the work that our doctors perform to help us stay healthy, to be in good health so that our bodies are well nourished and refreshed. If that is important for our physical health, that is just as important for our spiritual health. In today's service, we will see the importance of proper spiritual care and the blessings of having a good spiritual doctor, a good spiritual shepherd, overseeing our souls and making sure that our souls are refreshed and cared for in the Word of God. The order of service for today is printed for you entirely in the green cover service booklet. Even the hymns in today's service are printed for you in the service booklet. You will not need the books in front of you, the red hymnal or blue hymnal supplement. Everything you need today, including the hymns, is reprinted for you in the service booklet. We'll begin by having the VBS children come forward to sing a couple of songs. Then they'll be dismissed back to sit with their families in the pews for the remainder of the service. And then after those songs, we'll begin with the opening hymn on page 4 in the service booklet. May God bless us through word and song today. Please stand as we follow the service on page 5 and follow. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sins and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Grant us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do what is right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may, by your help, be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Shortly before the Lord called the Old Testament prophet Moses home to heaven, Moses prays to the Lord and asks that he would provide a new leader for the nation of Israel so that they would have proper spiritual care over them. Our first lesson is a reading from the book of Numbers in chapter 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes." These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin. Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and he had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. This is the word of the Lord. Please join with me to sing responsively Psalm 23 on pages 7 and 8.
God, shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
The second lesson selected for today's service, the writer reminds his readers to look to the example of the spiritual shepherds who have gone before them, to pray for them, and to find their blessing in Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 13. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Respect for the words of Jesus in the gospel, please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6. This account will also be the basis for today's sermon. Mark writes, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we sing the hymn of the day. After this weekend, we will only have one more month of worshiping here in the church sanctuary before we head on over to the gym for a couple of months, while the long-promised and awaited church sanctuary refresh project begins. On Monday, August 31st, a company is going to come in, and all 24 of these pews are going to be removed, the wood repaired and restained, the padding recovered, the ceiling repaired, the walls repainted. Say goodbye to pink. You only got one more month with it. There will be new wall sconces along the wall, adding additional light. There'll even be some Bible passages along the three walls. I think it's safe to say that when we return to this church sanctuary, Lord willing, on Sunday, October 25th, you are going to be very, very pleased and excited with the work of the Refresh Project. And if our anniversary thank offering, if our 50th anniversary thank offering is able to yield the results sufficient for it, in a few more years down the road, there'll be even more beauty in this sanctuary because you'll be looking at stained glass along the side walls, picturing the gospel in art, in symbolism, right alongside the walls as you enter the church. But even without the sanctuary refresh project, I think we'd have to confess that we are blessed with a very nice church sanctuary. There's plenty of comfortable seating for everyone. Somebody asked if the padded pews were going away. No, they're not going away. It's okay. That was at the early service. They're staying around. Plenty of seating for everyone. Fantastic acoustics, good for music, good for singing. A great location, a beautiful campus. Frankly, we have many things that would be the envy of many other congregations, even without the sanctuary refresh project. It's time for a church refresh project. Notice this time I didn't say church sanctuary, I just said it's time for a church refresh project. What do I mean by that? Let me refer you back to 6 weeks ago when we celebrated our main 50th anniversary Sunday, and our guest preacher was former pastor, now seminary professor, Bill Tackmeyer. And in the course of his sermon, he held up an old picture directory of St. Mark's congregation. He pointed to the front cover with the picture of the church building, and he said, "This is not the church." And then he opened up to the pages of the members of St. Mark's, and he said, "This is St. Mark's church." In the same way, it's good for us to have a church sanctuary refresh project, but it's also important to have a church refresh project, not a project for the building, but a refresh project for the people, for the members of the congregation. That's what we're going to learn about as we spend a few moments meditating on the words of the gospel for today from Mark chapter 6. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 9 in the service booklet. We heard it read a few minutes ago. But in this reading, Jesus teaches us that it's time for a church refresh project. He shows us that we need time for refreshment, and he also helps us to understand that there are others who also need the same refreshment that he gives to us. Of course, Jesus and his disciples also needed some refreshment. This account takes place right after the gospel that we heard last Sunday. Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples two by two to neighboring towns and villages. They were to preach and to teach, and he even gave them authority to perform miracles to back up their preaching and teaching. So now they have all returned to Jesus, all with the news and reports of all that happened and how people had received their message. Quite a buzz has been created around Jesus and the disciples at this point. Mark said so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. You've had one of those days, right? You've had many of those days, right? We've probably all had those days. You wake up, and before you turn the shower on, you already feel like you're an hour behind. And then you hustle and bustle, you get ready for work, and maybe you grab a bagel or a muffin on the way out, you scarf it down while you're driving to work, you maybe snack a little bit during the course of the day, but you work through lunch, and by the time the day is done, you are seriously hungry for some serious food. I kind of get the feeling that that's how Jesus and the disciples felt at this point in the gospel. Jesus was, is, and always will be fully God. But when he came into this world, Jesus also became fully a human being. He is a true man, a true human like any one of us. And the disciples, of course, were only fully human beings. Human beings get tired. We get hungry. We need rest. They needed refreshment. Jesus said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And we know from the rest of Jesus' ministry that when Jesus would pull his disciples away from the crowds, very often this was a time to instruct them, to teach them about the Word of God and the kingdom of God and his work as the Savior and the Son of God. We just finished a week of vacation Bible school here at St. Mark's. I suppose you could say that was a week of refreshment. It was a week of refreshment for the parents who didn't have to watch their kids from 9 to noon. Good deal. $5 ain't bad for 5 days of babysitting. It was a week of refreshment for the children. It was a nice break from being at home, perhaps, but it was also a nice break because it was a nice week of spiritual refreshment. They got to learn their Bible stories. They were involved in songs and activities and art projects and the like that all reinforced the spiritual message of the day. They received spiritual refreshment from the Word of God. But overall, how is your life of spiritual refreshment? In the Old Testament, God actually mandated a set day as a day of rest, the Sabbath day, Saturday. Everyone was to rest from work, and that was also supposed to be a day for what was called sacred assembly, a day to gather together and hear the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. Now, the Bible is clear that that was an Old Testament custom. The Sabbath day does not apply specifically in our day, though the wisdom of the Sabbath day, the wisdom of a day of rest, the wisdom of a day, yes, not just to gather around the Word of God once, but maybe time every day to be in God's Word, that wisdom still remains today. But sometimes having time set aside to gather around the Word, rather than being wise, it almost feels unwelcome. Thinking of Sunday morning as not a one-hour experience, but a two-hour experience in worship and Bible study kind of feels like it's going to interrupt our plans later on. And a 15-minute time for Bible reading and prayer in the morning or in the evening every day feels like it interrupts the schedule that we've got going for ourselves. Set times for spiritual refreshment in the Word of God feel to us, or more specifically, feel to our sinful natures, like they are a little inconvenient, instead of the way that we ought to see them, as extremely important. You know what happens when your body isn't refreshed, right? After a while, you get burned out. What happens when our souls are not refreshed? What would happen if our soul does not receive the nourishment that it needs from the Word of God? They don't just get burned out. If our soul is starved from a drought of the Word of God, our souls are not only burned out, but they could be burned up eternally. But that's why Jesus says it's time for a spiritual refresh project for you, just for your soul. Whether this building has been refreshed or not yet, this is a house of spiritual refreshment, because when we gather here, the Word of God gives our souls the refreshment that they need. Jesus again tells us in his Word today how it is that he refreshes us. He earned your perfect status before God by living a perfect life on your behalf, and that perfect life gives you rest and refreshment before God. Jesus paid for all of your sins. He paid for that guilt once for all when he went to the cross, and as a result, you have spiritual rest and refreshment because of Jesus' death died for you. And Jesus completed God's plan to give you rest and refreshment when he conquered the grave, assuring you that you have rest and refreshment because of his Easter resurrection from the dead. Here is Jesus' already completed plan to rescue your souls, to give your souls the rest they need. And through faith in Jesus, all of these blessings are now your personal possession. They are now your promise of heaven. It was difficult for Jesus to get away from the crowds. When the people recognized him and his disciples, and when they kind of figured out where they were heading, the crowd decided to head forward in the same direction. Many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Now, as a side note, our translation makes it sound as if the crowd arrived before Jesus arrived. But the phrase translated "got there ahead of him" could also simply mean that they were heading forward in the same direction that Jesus and the disciples were heading. We needed that same clarification in the last verse of our reading, where it says Jesus landed and saw a large crowd. But the original word in the New Testament for landed only means to come out from wherever you are. In John chapter 6, we learn that Jesus and the disciples arrived before the crowd did. They got away to some secluded spot up the mountain, spent some time together, and then Jesus came out from that location and saw this large crowd that was approaching him. It was difficult for Jesus to get away from the crowds, but it was also difficult for Jesus to stay away from the crowds. The people seemed to follow Jesus like paparazzi. And I suppose Jesus could have dismissed the crowd. "Sorry, folks, office hours are closed for today. Come back tomorrow." But that's not what he did. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Here's the verse that provides the common thread, the shepherd thread, throughout the three scripture lessons in today's service. Jesus didn't see a crowd of paparazzi-like people. He saw people who were without a spiritual shepherd. He saw people who were lost and straying because they did not have good spiritual direction. He saw people that needed the guidance of a good shepherd. And he saw that these people needed the same refreshment that he had just given to his disciples. When I was on vacation about a month ago, for part of that trip, I stayed at my parents' house in the Milwaukee area, and my parents happened to live less than a 10-minute drive from the seminary that Pastor Schmidt and I both attended, the seminary of our national church body. There was one day that I went there to visit the seminary. It's kind of a field trip for us on all of our vacations. And in the course of going there, I came across our former pastor, Bill Tackmeyer, and we had a nice conversation for a while. In the course of our conversation, I asked Pastor Tackmeyer, now Professor Tackmeyer, we started to talk about various issues with St. Mark's. And one of the things that he brought up was different things that he tried to while he was here to reach out to the community with. And he said that after a while, he wrote a list of names. I bet many of you are on that list of names. People who came to St. Mark's while he was the pastor here, adults who became members while he was the pastor here. And he noted the reason why this person had a connection to St. Mark's, why they eventually became members of St. Mark's. There were all sorts of reasons on his list, but there were two big ones. The second most common reason people came to St. Mark's was they connected to our school. They sent their children to our school, and eventually they said, we want to also become a part of this congregation because we really like what you're teaching our children about Jesus. But you know what the most common reason was that people came to St. Mark's and became members of this church? You. They knew someone. One of you said to someone that you knew, a friend or a neighbor who needed spiritual refreshment, you said, hey, let me talk to you about Jesus. Hey, you want to come along with me to church on Sunday morning? And not only did you invite them, but maybe you tagged along with them as they took a Bible information class and learned the basic truths of the Christian faith to become members of this congregation. You were instrumental in bringing people, other lost souls, to come to know Jesus, their good shepherd. Sometimes we like to talk in our circles about our Fran network. I am not referring to anybody with the first name Fran. I'm talking about an acronym. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. Because as Pastor Tackmeyer's research pointed out, you are the best evangelists. You are the best ones who can notice somebody in your life who needs the same spiritual refreshment from Jesus that you have come to experience yourself. You know how Jesus has refreshed you with his forgiveness that he won for you on the cross. You know how he has refreshed you with the certainty that his resurrection means you are also heading for heaven. The Lord Jesus gave you that spiritual nourishment, and you know what a difference it makes for you and your heart. Isn't that something you want for others? Now that we have received such a gracious gift from our good shepherd, how can we not help but view the people in our lives, the people in our Fran network, our friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors? How can we not but see them with compassion as sheep who will find refreshment under the care of Jesus, our good shepherd? Many of you know that a couple months ago I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. I found out that I stopped breathing about every 2 minutes while I sleep. And breathing's kind of important. Well, for the last several weeks, I have experienced the joys of a CPAP machine. You got that mask on your face overnight that's essentially forcing you to breathe through the night. And yeah, it takes some getting used to, but you know what? Now that I've had that thing for a while, I have to say, it is sure a lot better to wake up in the morning feeling refreshed than feeling like I want to go back to bed. It makes a big, big difference. It's good for your body to feel refreshed. It's more important, however, that your soul is refreshed. And if that's what you're looking for, then you have come to the right place, to this spiritual house of refreshment. Forgiven in Christ and freed from guilt, go out today and live your life under the Lord's refreshment, and then look for opportunities to share that same refreshment with the people God has placed in your life. May God bless us in those efforts. Amen. Please stand. Please turn to page 11 in our service booklet. Now that we have heard the word of God, we respond by confessing our common Christian faith. We use the words of the ancient Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, the offerings will be gathered. If you have not done so already, please fill out the connection card that you received from the ushers as you came into church today, and then pass those to the center aisle. The ushers will collect those cards after the offerings have been gathered. At this time, we will join in the prayer of the church. In this morning's prayer, we will include a few special prayers and intercessions. We will pray on behalf of Marilyn Zalinardo as she now recovers from recurrent back pain. We will pray for Mary Bartelt, who had hernia surgery last Friday and is currently recovering in the hospital in Yuba City. And we will also pray and give thanks to God along with Homer and Norma Carson, who later this week will celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, we have heard the sweet sound of your familiar and loving voice in the gospel and have feasted in the green pastures of your holy word. Bless your word in our lives. Use its message to nourish and sustain us as we journey through this life to the next. Gracious Shepherd, we are truly confused and foolish without you. Forgive us for the times we wander from you and stray from the call of your voice. Restore us to your fold and protect us from the evil one. When Satan comes in the sheep's clothing of false teaching, expose his lies and guide us in your truth. When temporary pleasures beckon us to follow the wide road to hell, use your rod and staff to curb our sinful nature and lead us in paths of righteousness. guiding shepherd, bless your church with faithful under-shepherds, pastors who proclaim your death and resurrection as they minister to the souls in their care. Give all ministers of the gospel an unwavering devotion to your word. Tender shepherd, look with special care on all who suffer from loneliness, disease, accident, or loss. Lift them into your comforting arms and embrace them with the warmth of your love. Carry them through life's troubling times. Renew hope and joy in their lives. Bring healing and relief to Marilyn Zolinardo as she recovers from recurrent back pain. Strengthen her faith, bless the treatments she receives, and help her and her loved ones look to you for strength and security. We thank you for watching over Mary Bartelt during her surgery last week. Relieve her pain, sustain her trust in your gracious plans for her, and bless her with a speedy recovery, all according to your will. We join with Homer and Norma Carson to thank you for 50 years of blessings in their marriage. Be with them in the future as you have been in the past, and continue to fill their hearts and their home with your love. Loving Shepherd, we also pray for your other sheep. Let your voice be heard in all the world. Prosper the work of our missionaries at home and abroad. Give us all the zeal and courage to share with our friends and neighbors the good news of sins forgiven. Use our witness to gather the elect into one fold under your care. Eternal Shepherd, when our days on earth come to an end and we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, lead us safely to our eternal home. There we will enjoy your goodness and mercy forevermore. Amen. Worship continues with the hymn printed on page 12. One note, during the final stanza of this hymn, the VBS children are invited to come again forward, as after this hymn they will sing the Lord's Prayer, the musical version that they learned during the course of the past week. So again, the VBS children may come forward during the final stanza of the hymn on page 12 that we now join to sing. Worship concludes with the final prayer and blessing. You'll find them on the bottom of page 13 in the service booklet. Please stand for prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Again, to all of you, and a special welcome goes out to the many guests who joined us for worship today, especially all the VBS families who are with us. It was great to have your children here with us on campus last week, and it's certainly wonderful to have you with us in God's house this morning as we find refreshment in the Word of God from our Savior Jesus. We hope that we'll have many opportunities to do that in the future as well. Please introduce yourself to myself or Pastor Schmidt if you haven't already, and let us know if there's any way that we can be of service to your family. There's one announcement I'd like to share with you, and then after that we're going to take a look at the video that gives us a little taste of what Vacation Bible School was like last week. The video that the ushers were very eager to share with you, almost too eager to share with you, if you caught that. But that's all right. We still love you, Noel. That's all right. He just wants you to be excited about VBS. One announcement to highlight. On two Sundays today, on Sunday, August 9, after the late service, there will be a special, very brief voters meeting, only two items on the agenda. You can read about it in the weekly news update. You pick up the weekly news update in back. If you exit the side doors of the sanctuary, it's right alongside that diagonal wall attached to the wall on that brochure stand. You can pick up a copy of the weekly news update, and you can find out everything else that's also happening at St. Mark's from there. Make sure you get a copy of that. With that, one more thing. Mr. Walker, what was our final student count for VBS? 170 kids here last week. And there's another reason to be grateful for that. I said in the sermon that when I was back in Wisconsin, I caught up with Pastor Tackmeyer, now Professor Tackmeyer, and he was asking about how's VBS doing. And I said that last couple years has been about that many kids, and he was really impressed because it was only a few years ago that it was half of that, perhaps, or about 100. So it's really fascinating. It's really great, something for us to be grateful for, how well the Lord is blessing this particular ministry program that we have here at St. Mark's. It would not be possible were it not for dozens of adults that were also helping. If you were a volunteer last week, could you stand up so that we can get a sense of how many adults were also helping? Thank you very much. And this isn't even the whole crew. If it weren't for all your help and assistance, this program could not be as successful as it is. So we thank you for your participation in that. Let's get a little taste of what we had happening last week. We'll watch the video.
Because he
Thank you to everyone who participated in Vacation Bible School last week. We hope you have a great Sunday and a great week. Please greet each other before you're dismissed. I look forward to chatting with you in the back. Have a great week.